News right here at RDN Live this first day of February 2024, and thanks for the correction. I moved us up by a day yesterday. Well, that's the only thing, not the only thing I may have got wrong. We had Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin holding a news conference today, and unless this was a hologram, and if you know holographic technology, it's not impossible. It could have been. It certainly looked like the real guy. He's making disturbing statements about the deadly attack on U.S. troops in Jordan that killed three and injured dozens. The president will not tolerate attacks on American troops, and neither will I, said Secretary Austin. Austin, I don't think the adversaries have a one-and-done mindset. They have a lot of capability. I have a lot more. He's saying, looks like we're being set up for a war with Iran, which would immediately spiral into a world war. Russia is not going to stand by and allow the United States to attack Iran. Mark my words. Here we have Colonel McGregor talking about it.
Hi.
As soon as we can flip through the ads, they kick in here. This is with Judge Napolitano. He's doing a good job.
Do you see any path in Israel for the achievement of the publicly stated goals of Prime Minister Netanyahu of eradicating Hamas and returning the hostages?
Not at the moment, no. I can't conceive of it, because while he's made these statements publicly, you have to go back and look at what's happened since 7 October. And since 7 October, the campaign has focused on expelling or killing the population in Gaza. I think the assumption is that whomever you kill in Gaza richly deserves it. If they happen to be members of Hamas, that's fine. If they're living there, they must be supportive of Hamas. And so I think that's a secondary concern. And as far as the hostages go, I don't see any acute sensitivity to that issue. Right now, it's drive out the Arabs, and not just in Gaza. I think there's also an effort to do something very similar on the West Bank.
I emphasized in my question, and I think you understood it that way, Prime Minister Netanyahu's publicly stated goals, but might his real goal be what he once inadvertently or directly articulated to the UN, which is that Israel consists of all the land from the river to the sea?
Yes, he's briefed that to the United Nations. He supplied a map, and everybody looked at it and wondered where the Palestinians were. They were gone. So that's abundantly clear. He's also made those comments in Hebrew. I think people need to understand this. Secondly, need to understand the Israeli population is behind it. They don't question this at all. They're 100% behind it.
Here's a clip from Al Jazeera, but it's the two, what we've been calling extremist members of his main cabinet and his war cabinet, Ben-Gavir and Smotrich, making demands of him in public and before large crowds. We don't know what they say to him in private, and maybe he agrees with this. But here they are in front of crowds making demands of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Elecha, Adoni Rosh HaMemshala,
Mr. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm addressing you from this stage. It's a shame to wait another 19 years to understand that Gush Katif and northern Samaria must be returned. The responsibility of brave leadership is to make courageous decisions.
We are settling our land from width to length, controlling it and fighting terror always and bringing, with God's help, security to all of Israel. You know what the answer is. Without settlement, there is no security.
To length, and I think we have what you and I discussed before we went on air. I believe we have Prime Minister Netanyahu on this.
For 30 years, I am very consistent, and I'm saying something very simple. This conflict is not on the lack of a state of Palestinian, but the existence of a state, the Jewish state. Every area that we evacuate, we receive terrible terror against that. It happened in South Lebanon, in Gaza, and also Judea and Samaria, which we did it. And therefore, I clarify that in any other arrangement, in the future, the state of Israel have to control on the entire area from the river to the sea. This is what happens when you have sovereignty. This truth, I say to our American friends, and I also stopped the attempt to impose on us a reality that will jeopardize us. A prime minister in Israel has to be able to say no, even to the best of friends. To say no when you need to, and to say yes when you can.
Well, there's much more to the interview, but none of it is positive. Meanwhile, Russian military maintain an advantage in all dimensions of the war in Ukraine coming from South Front. I think they've got it exactly right. This, as I've emphasized, is among the very most reliable reports, sources for news about the Ukraine war. The warring sides continue their mutual strikes in the rear areas while intense fighting continues on the Ukrainian front. The Russian military holds the lead in both dimensions. On the night of January 29th, Ukraine attempted new attacks on Russian rear areas. The Russian Ministry of Defense confirmed that the interception of a Ukrainian drone in the Bryansk region, according to unofficial reports, another UAV was shot down in the Rostov region. Another Ukrainian drone targeted a Russian oil refinery in Yaroslavl. The attack failed, and the drone fell in the territory of the plant. At the same time, Ukrainian servicemen do not stop shelling the Donetsk urban agglomeration and Russian border settlements where there are no military facilities. As a result, more and more civilians are killed and wounded every day. Meanwhile, get this. Ukraine set to receive a bomb so new it hasn't even reached the U.S. arsenal yet. This is from Zero Hedge. The Pentagon is poised to begin equipping Ukraine with a long-range precision bomb that's so new it hasn't even hit the American arsenal yet. The first shipment could arrive as early as Wednesday. And this was published on the 1st. So we're talking about this coming Wednesday. The precision-guided ground-launched small-diameter bomb, a joint project of Boeing and Saab, comprises a 250-pound explosive attached to a rocket motor fired from ground launchers. From a range of about 90 miles, it's accurate within a meter. The U.S. military has an air launch version, but not this new ground launch, six of which were fired in a final pre-ship test conducted at Florida's Elgin Air Force Base on January 16th, according to Reuters. So they're going to get new weapons, not even actually in the American arsenal yet. Meanwhile, there's a list of the Ukrainian POWs killed on board that Russian plane, where the exact rationale for having shot it down remains to me a mystery. Meanwhile, Scott Ritter, talking about what's going on here, and that Turkey and Russia, he believes, are all in. Let's listen to this.
Turkey's organized into military districts or various armies. And the army that's in the Thracian area in Istanbul and European Turkey, the army that's in the Izmir area, I believe these are armies that are dedicated NATO forces. But the armies that operate to the east, especially the army that operates along the Syrian border, these are not dedicated NATO forces. So, you know, Turkey is one of these nations where they have a significant, you know, part of their armed forces which carry out non-NATO duties. And Turkey also is a nation that recognizes the reality of Russia, meaning that unlike other European nations, Turkey knows that it's in their best interest to have good relations with Russia. This is why Turkey has active economic engagement. Russia just completed a nuclear power plant. But the other thing is that, you know, Turkey, to give you an example, as a NATO member, they have a very difficult relationship with Greece. And the United States has been hesitant to sell Turkey advanced fighter aircraft out of fear that Turkey would use these aircraft to attack Greece. And so there's been strained relations. This dates back to 1974, I believe, when Turkey invaded Cyprus and the United States began sanctioning Turkey before that invasion. You know, so we have sort of this love-hate relationship with Turkey, where they're a member of NATO, they buy American equipment, but we deny them full access to American equipment. We blocked Turkey from the F-35 program, even though they had invested a lot of money into that, and they were prepared to produce part of the F-35 aircraft in Turkish aircraft factories. We've not been forthright in replacing the F-35 with an advanced F-16. We put a lot of strings on that. Turkey's bought the S-400 surface-to-air missile from Russia, which is one of Russia's most advanced air defense systems. And there's a lot of concern that, you know, if Turkey has the F-35 and the S-400, that the S-400 radar will be able to learn a lot of things about F-35 operations, and that that will, you know, expose the United States to vulnerability. So there's a lot of people hesitant about allowing Turkey to have both the F-35 and the S-400. So we're trying to, you know, we put pressure on Turkey, we sanction Turkey. And as a result, Turkey has open relations. I went to the Defender of the Fatherland event at the Russian Embassy in Washington, D.C. last February. That's one where I famously or infamously posted me doing a vodka toast with two Russian colonels. But at that event was the Turkish air attaché. And I sat there and had a very long discussion with him about the S-400, about the F-35, about Turkish relations with Russia. The Turkish officer and the Russian officer were on friendly terms. They, you know, one's a NATO officer, the other one's a Russian, but they were doing what defense attachés are supposed to be doing, that is working together, trying to get a better understanding. There it is. I love this video. There are many people out there who hate this video, but I don't care. This is called Building Bridges, Making Friends. But I think I've touched on the subject long enough to...
I think Hassan should be happy by now, maybe even elated.
He should be. I did my best, Hassan. I'm a little tired, and I'm starting to babble, so I'm going to cut it off.
No.
Well, needless to say, we have U.S. planning now. It turns out they're admitting a week-long, several weeks-long bombing campaign against Iranian targets. This is an all-out assault on Hamas, mark my words. U.S. official told NBC the U.S. is planning to launch a weeks-long bombing campaign in the Middle East in retaliation for the drone attack in northeast Jordan that killed three American soldiers. So you have three American soldiers, and we're going to have a weeks-long bombing campaign that'll kill hundreds, thousands, whatever, just as we had October 7th, when you had maybe 1,200 died, but most of whom appear to have been killed by the Israelis themselves. How many by Hamas is an open question, but they did take hostages. And now they're going about an all-out slaughter of every man, woman, and child in Gaza, completely disproportionate. These are war crimes. These are not justifiable. The official said that the targets are expected to include Iranian targets outside of Iran, and the campaign will involve strikes and cyber operations. Other reports have said the U.S. is considering targeting Iranians in Iraq and Syria or the Iranian Navy. While the potential targets are not inside Iran, direct attacks on the Iranian military could provoke a full-blown war between the U.S. and Iran. The U.S. is considering taking this course of action, even though the Pentagon admitted it has no evidence Iran was directly involved in the drone attack in Jordan. How bad is that? Typical U.S. create a phony pretext and then go about acting on it as though it were a certainty. Well, get this. Iran is getting new hypersonic missiles from Russia. I like this.
Everything here, from miles away.
Again, of course, every time we have a video, we have a break.
Israel now has an all-new, first-of-its-kind advanced air defense system to respond to hypersonic or cruise missiles. Perhaps not by chance, the Skysonic from Rafael defense system comes just after Iran.
In a geopolitical move that has sent shockwaves through the Middle East and beyond, Iran has recently acquired a new arsenal of hypersonic missiles from Russia, raising concerns in Israel and redefining the balance of power in the region. The acquisition of these advanced weapons has significant implications for the regional security landscape, as it not only enhances Iran's military capabilities, but also deepens its strategic alliance with Russia. This article delves into the details of Iran's newfound military prowess, the strategic implications for Israel, and the broader geopolitical ramifications of this development. Hypersonic missiles represent a new frontier in military technology, offering unprecedented speed and maneuverability. These missiles can travel at Mach 5 or more, which is five times the speed of sound, making them extremely challenging to intercept with existing missile defense systems. Their capability to change trajectory during flight adds another layer of unpredictability, making them a formidable weapon in modern warfare.
Let me just add that if the United States is going to attack Iranian targets, Iran may be forced to respond, and if they have these hypersonic weapons, they can take out the U.S. Navy. Believe me, I think the Houthis have that prospect as well. So the situation, in my opinion, is laden, fraught with hazard for World War III breaking out at virtually any time. Here's indeed a piece from the Israel-Palestine News. Is Biden taking U.S. to war with Iran? Pelosi, that the pro-Palestinian protesters are Russian and Chinese agents. Think of the simple-minded deception involved in Pelosi suggesting that anyone who protests against genocide is a Russian or Chinese agent. I cannot believe this woman had the lengthy history in Congress she had, except she was a useful moron for powerful interests. I mean, my opinion of Nancy Pelosi has sunk about as low as it could go. Members of both parties are demanding Biden bomb targets inside Iran. What price are Americans willing to endure in the name of protecting Israel and empowering its war in Gaza? Nancy Pelosi on CNN announced her belief that pro-Palestinian protesters in the U.S. are tied to the Kremlin, called on the FBI to investigate. This is Glenn Greenwald, good guy. After the October 7 attack by Hamas, the Biden admin pledged full and unconditional American support for Israel, not only proposing to pay for and arm Israel's war in order to slaughter the Palestinians, but even deploying military assets to the region, including two aircraft carriers. The objective, they said at the time, was to ensure there would be no regional escalation. Yet exactly that has happened. Fight back. Anyway.
never change my mind. I'll open up the
door. Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
I look at all the lonely people. I look at all the lonely people.
Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, antiwar.com reports Netanyahu says he won't withdraw from Gaza for a new hostage deal. He doesn't plan to withdraw from Gaza. He has shown maps where there are no Palestinians on the map at all. That's the objective. Meanwhile, Unz.com, U.S. Israel implement plan to cut food, water, and medicine to Gaza. They've already been doing it. Palestinians are dying of starvation. And bear in mind, I emphasize, the United States is involved in this horrendous crime against humanity. That is your United States. This is being done with your taxpayer dollars. Perhaps we could have a resistance, a refusal to pay taxes until we get the hell out of Israel. Breaking news on the day 717 of Gaza's Al-Aqsa flood. We have YouTube report. CNN shows Israel excavating graves in Gaza. My understanding is they were looking to see if any hostages had been buried, any parties they believe were hostages had actually been buried and were already dead. We have 30 bodies handcuffed and blindfolded. They were found in a Beltleh school hall. The Israeli army confirms it's been flooding the Gaza tunnels with seawater. We knew that was taking place. South Front reports up on it, which, again, I say, what an excellent source. Several military officials have confirmed January 30th, it has been flooding some tunnels in the Gaza Strip with seawater, that a number of tools for injecting high-flow water into Hamas tunnels, it's part of the variety of tools the IDF has for dealing with them. Not all the tunnels were flooded, knowing the process includes attaching pumps and pipes to the available tunnel shafts for the task, but apparently they're not having a lot of success. Here's a report again from antiwar.com. U.S. and Israeli officials believe about 80% of Hamas tunnels under Gaza are still intact after over 3 months of Israeli relentless bombing. The report's another sign that Netanyahu's goal of wanting to eradicate Hamas is unrealistic, as the tunnels are a key part of the group's infrastructure. The Israeli paper Haaretz recently reported sources within the IDF said they would be unable to destroy most Hamas tunnels and that the underground network is significantly larger than Israel originally thought. According to the New York Times, Israel previously estimated there were 100 miles of tunnel below Gaza. Now they estimate it's up to 450 miles in length. Israel has flooded some of the tunnels, but the strategy was not as effective as they hoped, that where, in some areas, unexpected barriers slowed or stopped the flow of water altogether. I have to say, Hamas had to anticipate that this might happen. Meanwhile, Moody's is planning to downgrade Israel's credit rating. I think this is good, from the truth seeker. Things are looking bad for Israel, not just militarily, but economically, too. Israeli Defense Force has seen what remains of its once proud reputation in tatters as it struggles against a relatively lightly armed yet determined militia. This hasn't been helped by the fact that the army that once boasted of being the most ethical army in history has now killed more than 26,000 Palestinian civilians, the majority of whom are women and children. No big surprise that the adverse publicity from the Gaza conflict has generated rising public hostility toward Israel across the globe. To make matters worse, as the conflict has dragged on, the credit rating agency Moody's has been forced to reconsider Israel's rating. This is not to repeat anti-Semitic tropes about Jewish moneylenders, but underline the fact that the future for Israel, as we now know it, looks increasingly uncertain. In essence, what we see in Israel is a working example of collective karma at work. Glad to see it. Want more. They deserve the worst. Meanwhile, this is just an abuse. Adult son of an Israeli diplomat accused of deliberately running over a Florida police officer has claimed he has diplomatic immunity, to run over American cops. Meanwhile, an insider Ukraine reports erupts in the District of Columbia. Look where America's $130 billion went, they claim. American taxpayers have footed the bill for more than $100 billion set to Ukraine so far for its war against Russia. Political leaders on both sides of the aisle have jumped on the war wagon, filled it full of money in the name of a fight for freedom, when it's anything but. And, of course, most attack stars, where have they gone?
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Bear in mind, if you wanted to, you know, with a woke agenda, minimize the contributions of Western Europeans and Anglo-Saxons to the histories of science, politics, intellectual development, you might be driven to absurdities such as this. Diversity Exhibition laughingly claims the original Brits were black. An exhibition celebrating diversity in London laughably claims that first Britain were black and that Britain was black for 7,000 years before white people arrived. This is in Zero Head. Yes, really. A brilliant black British history exhibit held at Black Culture Archives in Brixton, South London, received taxpayer funding to spout patently false nonsense. The very first display panel in the exhibition states, by testing DNA, scientists made an amazing discovery. The first migrant to Britain around 12,000 years ago had black skin. Yes, that's right. The very first Britons were black. Fact check? No. This is all based on the infamous Cheddar Man hoax. The oldest set of human remains to have been found in Britain, whom researchers initially claimed had possible skin pigmentation from dark to black. So it's based on an archaeological hoax. Why would that be a surprise? Meanwhile, the truth seeker really appropriately observes, stupid macho U.S. electioneering will push Biden into a doomed war. Finian Cunningham, smart guy. Predictably, Joe Biden has been played by the Republicans over the killing of three U.S. troops in Jordan by Iraqi militants. The Democrat president is slammed for being weak and a coward by his political opponents. Donald Trump, his main Republican rival, mocked Biden as a loser and said the attacks on U.S. troops were because of the president's weakness and surrender. Nikki Haley, the other Republican vying, also taunted Biden for showing spinelessness toward Iran. She called for direct retaliation on the Islamic Republic with a full force of American strength. Logically, that would imply the use of nuclear weapons. Unanimously across the mainstream U.S. political spectrum, it was assumed that Iran was responsible for the deadly attack on the U.S. military base Sunday, where three servicemen were killed and 34 reported wounded. But even the Pentagon admits it has no proof that Iran was involved. Meanwhile, in a development that has to be more than a bit unnerving for those of us who are students of Pizzagate, the Sultan, the master of Pizzagate, John Podesta, is moving into the White House. This is from the conservative treehouse, Sundance, right? Interesting move in office location for yet another election year. In 2022, Joe Biden appointed John Podesta as the clean energy czar, essentially giving him control over doing out over $326 billion in Green New Deal, a.k.a. Inflation Reduction Act money provided by Congress. At least that was a pretense of its purpose. The actual agenda for Podesta in 2022 appeared to be using the $316 billion GND money fund leftist support networks of the Biden to fund leftist support network of the Biden administration in the mid-year election cycle. Now that we enter another, Podesta has been given a new title to assume the role of John Kerry as Biden's latest climate diplomat as soon as Kerry exits this spring. In other words, he's a guy who's going to dole out the money. Now, if you don't understand the role of John Podesta in all this Pizzagate stuff, check out my piece, Among the 65 Shows, Pizzagate, Real or Fiction, the American franchise of Pedogate. Let me say, too, when Seth Rich downloaded files from the DNC, which would later be claimed by Hillary and the Republicans to have been Russian hacking, but where Bill Binney explained it had been done in the Eastern time zone at a far too rapid rate to have been distant hacking, John Podesta, based upon my research, directed that they be setting an example for someone who is betraying the Democrats and had him shot. He actually wound up in the hospital still alive, but I'm telling you, it was Seth Rich who was disillusioned because the Democrat Party had shifted 13 primaries that Bernie had won into Hillary's column to guarantee that she would be the nominee, and then, of course, punished Seth Rich ultimately with his death. I've done a lot on this, and it ain't a pretty picture. Meanwhile, Brent has a new video on open borders that is very good.
Are you unclogging your toilet correctly?
Well,
the only tool you should use.
What can I say about that? Here we go.
This new self-defense weapon is going
to again. We have all these.
Have this tool to protect their.
Here it is.
You're about to see and hear a special and urgent program on the consequences of open borders on the remnant and fast disappearing white majority of America. The United States of America is under attack, and the Biden regime is actively aiding the attackers. This is an urgent and existential crisis. How, why, and when did America's borders collapse, and who is behind it? The federal government has an obligation to the people of the United States to protect its borders and to protect the people from invasion, occupation, and the replacement of the American people. This is not happening. It is an act of war against America by invaders. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution guarantees that the federal government shall protect each state against invasion. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 acknowledges the states have a sovereign right to protect their borders. The failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, Section 4 has triggered Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which reserves to the states the right of self-defense to stop the invaders. The Biden administration has said Israel has a right to self-defense because Israel's borders were violated and invaded. Indeed, America has rushed to defend Israel's borders, yet the Biden regime says that Texas has no right to self-defense, and Texas must allow the invasion and even work for the invaders. To almost all federal lawmakers, politicians, bureaucrats hold that Israel has a right to exist in self-defense on stolen land, but America doesn't. Israel has a right to build walls, but America doesn't. Whose interest do America's open borders serve?
Israel has a right to defend itself.
Israel has the right, indeed the obligation, to defend itself.
Is the government of America serving the people of America or someone else who has captured the American government? In this commentary, we make the case it's the latter. America has a captured, treasonous Zionist government. The American government, whether in the hands of Democrats or Republicans, serves Jewish interests in Israel. How do we know this for certain? Because all presidents of the last 76 years since Israel was founded, including Trump and Biden, hold that Israel has a right to self-defense. Yet American states no longer have that right, despite the Constitution clearly giving them that right. The federal government has broken the constitutional compact between the United States and the states. It was this that caused the Civil War and cost 750,000 American lives. The American Civil War was about states' rights and not about slavery. Get that in your head. We have to ask, is America on the verge of another Civil War, this time over open borders and population replacement? The executive branch of the United States has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting states, including immigration laws passed by the Congress. President Biden has refused to uphold and enforce those laws.
I think that's exactly right. I think that's wonderful. I've heard nothing but rave reviews about this video, which I posted on my BitChute channel, Jim Vetzer, and also on my Twitter, at Jim Vetzer. I encourage you to watch it. Meanwhile, we have a comedian heading to the Texas border and finding a few holes. Here we see him. He's just driving along.
No, y'all come to my page because of the comedy, and I just play around on here. And I don't get political very often. Sometimes I have some things to say about things. I live in Texas. I was just on Eagle Pass, and I've got some videos I need to show you guys. Because you're watching the news, whether it's CNN or Fox, you're letting these news media idiots get you riled up against each other. Let me show you some videos that might just calm your ass down and make you turn off the TV. Watch this.
All right, so this is the wall. You know, the fence that we put up, and they put up a secondary fence because they opened the gates. There's some armed guards with some pretty serious weaponry, you know, pretty intimidating, right? Here's your razor wire in between the two bridges that are in the entrances into Mexico and also the entrance to Eagle Pass. There's some Hummers, some more guys, right? We're protecting, you know, we're keeping them out. This is 0.5 miles from that area. 0.5 miles from where they set up their cameras. 0.5 miles from where they have all the people there. And it's right down the road. I left this long to show you just how short of a drive it is for us to get to a point where all that we just saw does not matter. And they're just getting you riled up against each other.
Well, I'm not quite sure what to make of that 100%. Yes, there are areas where the defenses are working, but there's no doubt there's overwhelming massive invasion taking place. Get this. The Truth Seeker reports Ben Shapiro donated $500,000, $500,000 to migrant trafficking organization in 2022. Ben Shapiro donated as much as $500,000 to an organization linked to migrant trafficking in 2022. That is to say, in support of trafficking, of bringing migrants into the United States. Sam Parker, former U.S. Senate candidate for Utah, disclosed this in a post on Twitter. He referenced a 2022 annual report of the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society indicating Shapiro's donation of between $100,000 and $500,000 to the organization. According to Parker, the Jewish Shapiro remarked, he didn't give a good goddamn about the so-called Browning of America. The conspiracy further deepened with the involvement of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who was formerly a board member of that Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. Shapiro and Mayorkas share a certain common background with HIAS, yes, and one very detrimental to the United States. Meanwhile, another Fast and Furious, Zero Hedge reports. Mexico demands answers as cartels acquire U.S. military-grade weapons. Mexico is furious, demanding an investigation how belt-fed machine guns, rocket launchers, and grenades are ending up in the hands of cartel members, the country's top diplomat said. The Mexican Defense Department, has warned the United States about weapons entering Mexico for the exclusive use for the U.S. Army. Foreign Relations Secretary Alicia Barcena said, as quoted by the Associated Press, Barcena said, it's very urgent an investigation be carried out. In June, the Mexican Army announced that it seized a dozen rocket launchers, 56 grenade launchers, and 212 fully automatic machine guns since 2018. This, by the way, appears to be coming from the black market in Ukraine. Are you surprised? Meanwhile, the Gateway Pundit reports that the FBI has known all along who was the January 6th bomber. This is very, very embarrassing. We had a call about this. Representative Massey confirmed person who found January 6th pipe bomb is a current United States Capitol Police officer. How bad is that? A current Capitol Police officer was the party who planted the bomb. Does that leave any doubt in your mind as to whether this was contrived? Meanwhile, Ilhan Omar, she also arose during our questions yesterday, our callers, is part of a larger problem, according to Gregory Hood in an Oons.com article. There are few authentic leftists. Universalism, egalitarianism, and open borders are leftist principles that weaken any group that adopts them. When a figure's a progressive for America, but a nationalist for his own people, he's not progressive at all. He's simply a nationalist for his own side. Ilhan Omar is a prominent example. On January 27th, she spoke in Somali to a group of Somalis in the United States. Her speech would thrill any Somali nationalist. Though there's some dispute over the translation, the main items are not in doubt. One translation quotes her, Somali is one. We are brothers and sisters. Our land will not be balkanized. Our lands were taken from us before, and God willing, we may one day seek them, but what we have now will not be balkanized. America is a place where one of your daughters sits in Congress so she can make sure no one will take Somalia's sea. A more watered-down translation? Honestly, I don't find all that overly troubling. Given what the Democrats are doing generally, I think Ilhan Omar is pretty small potatoes in the larger scheme of things. Meanwhile, Georgia DA Fannie Willis is countersued in the Trump case, subpoenaed to testify about improper spending and relationship from the Epoch Times. The plaintiff has argued the DA's alleged conduct compromises her RICO case and is seeking to dismiss the indictment. I like this. Totally appropriate. An attorney representing one of the defendants in the high-profile election racketeering case, which Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis is prosecuting, is countersuing the district attorney for allegedly failing to produce documents to the defense and intentionally withholding information in violation of state law. Attorney Arlie Merchant of the Georgia-based Merchant Law Firm sued the district attorney's office on January 30th. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a two-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say but you can learn how to play the game.
two final stories to round out those for today. One about an incident that's going to be replicated many, many times over in the woke sanctuary cities. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Biden's America. Migrant mob beats and kicks New York City cops near Times Square. The New York police released video Tuesday evening of a mob of migrants beating and kicking two New York City police officers near a migrant center at Times Square on Saturday night. The officers were injured in the attack, but did not need to be hospitalized. The video shows the mob initially complying with the officers, telling them to move along. Just after they disappear from view, the two officers come tumbling back into camera range, tussling with one of the migrants, putting up a fight. As the officer struggled to detain the migrant, his yellow jacket and shirt come off. Meanwhile, his friends surround the cops, taking turns with cheap shots and kicks to the head to try to free their comrade, which they eventually succeeded in doing as the man can be seen running away at the end of the video as the beaten cops are prone on the sidewalk. Yes, you're going to see a whole lot more of that. And finally, and this constitutes a counterexample to my argument of yesterday about legalizing all drugs. And when I talk about legalizing drugs, I mean standardizing them. I mean making them, you know, legally marketable products. But where I'm not talking about illegal drugs, which could, of course, be marketed on the side, unregulated and have any content, no matter how toxic or fatal. I'm talking about taking measures to regulate and standardize so everyone knows what they're getting. Oregon declares a state of emergency. Oregon has just declared a 90-day state of emergency over rapidly accelerating fatal fentanyl crisis. This news comes only 4 years after Oregon became one of the first states in the nation to largely decriminalize hard drugs, including cocaine and heroin. Here's Judy tweeting. In Portland, Oregon, local and state come together to declare a state of emergency and fentanyl crisis. Oregon became the first state in the country to decriminalize the possession of all drugs, including heroin and cocaine, in 2020. Pictured is a man smoking crack in downtown Portland. Well, we can certainly argue more about this. To give you just an idea of how rampant fentanyl problems are in the state, we'll get back and we'll take your calls.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.